You're listening to Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with Scott Eckersley producing 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Glad to go out on the phone now to Democratic Senator Gretchen Whitmer. Good evening, Senator. How are you?
I'm good, Cheryl. How are you?
Very good. I was downtown this morning and saw a huge rally in front of the Capitol. It was a lot of representatives of the AFL-CIO who were protesting some bills that would give emergency financial managers appointed by the state some pretty broad powers. You're not in favor of these.
I'm not, and you're right. It was a very large gathering today and very noisy, too, in the Capitol, people protesting this. You know, enormous power grab by the state, and they made their voices heard. They didn't change the votes, unfortunately, today, but we will have this argument again tomorrow.
What did happen today with the votes?
Well, today we had it was on general orders, which is like second reading of the bill. So we offered a number of amendments, but what the bills actually do is with the governor's budget, if it's enacted the way that he has introduced it, it is going to plunge, hundreds of municipalities into, crisis, and many, many school districts into crisis. And so what these bills do is say, well, if you're in crisis, then we're going to change up all the rules and give you a new emergency manager and undo all your contracts. And so it's this, great power grab by the governor, and I think that it's the ones who are going to pay the price are kids and people in our communities who rely on first responders.
Now, many of the folks had a call into Mark Gaffney, a president of the AFL-CIO in Michigan, and we weren't able to connect today. But he was quoted as saying this was an assault not only on collective bargaining rights but on voting rights as well. What is your response to that statement?
I agree with that statement. What this does is the state treasurer appoints someone to go into a city or into a school and undoes everything or can undo everything that the elected boards have done. So if you have an elected city council or your school boards, this financial manager is allowed to go in and undo all the contracts that have been signed with the teachers or the police or the fire department, and rewrite them. And they're completely unaccountable to the public and are going to make decisions that impact the public safety and kids' education.
Well, and I did speak earlier today, or I did speak today with, and we'll have on the show in a little bit, a gentleman named Ed Plawecki, an attorney who is helping putting together the agenda and the education and training. And he said there are some misconceptions out there, and we had a moment to talk. Our interview will come up later, and that this is a last resort, that nobody wants to send an emergency financial manager in. Are you not sure about that?
Well, of course nobody wants to, but with the governor's budget cutting over $700 per pupil, it's a 10% cut to our schools, the governor's going to plunge, over 100 districts into crisis where they have to do this. No one wants to, but if the governor's revenue sharing cuts of 40% go into effect, it is going to plunge about 160 municipalities into crisis where they have to make use of this. So it's easy to say no one wants to do this, but if the governor's budget presented becomes a reality, this is going to be the sad reality that our municipalities and our schools are going to be faced with.
Now, the votes, as you said, it was the second reading today in general orders. What is the next step with this?
Tomorrow it will be on final passage, which is third reading, and when the bills are come out of the Senate, they will go to the House if there are differences between the two, and then to the governor's desk.
Well, I was downtown this morning and saw this huge rally. Had to work to get through the crowds to get to my car. Is there a rally planned tomorrow before this final vote?
I don't know. I hope that people show up. I think that it gave my colleagues pause. It didn't change their caucus discipline. But I think that when people see what this really is going to mean to our schools on top of all these cuts that we're going to, that the governor wants to impose on them, we could have some real devastating circumstances here, and not even to mention bond ratings and people's savings that are invested in municipal bonds. So these have got much bigger ramifications than just the emergency financial managers.
Would it be accurate to say that, this would is receiving little or no Democratic support?
At this juncture, I can't imagine why a Democrat would vote for this. We couldn't even get the Republicans to agree to limit compensation for these new bureaucrats to under $176,000 a year. So where's the Tea Party now, I ask, when they're creating new bureaucrats who are unaccountable and are going to make over $176,000 a year? It doesn't make sense to me.
And you know, we hear repeatedly about collective bargaining rights and local government sovereignty is one of the phrases I've been hearing the last couple of days as well. And folks are talking about who don't like the idea of emergency financial managers, the democratic process being pulled apart in this way, because it eliminates, according to the way it's written, it would eliminate, you know, the folks, people we voted for are now taken out of power.
Right. They're taken out of power, and all of the contracts that were lawfully negotiated are up in the air. And so when this is an administration that likes to say job number one is jobs, they're dismantling the democratic system, but also a system that has, I mean, there's no perfect system, but you've got to have accountability, especially when you're talking about expending taxpayer dollars. And this takes away that accountability, and it's, you know, bad public policy for the short term in Michigan and for the long term as well.
And what are you hearing? I know you have a lot of interaction regularly with constituents. What have you heard in the last few days or a couple of weeks about this proposal?
Well, I think that people are shocked that the legislature is going to this extreme and this early. You know, we haven't even finished the budget yet, and we're rewriting the rules for how people in crisis are going to deal with the budget cuts that are forthcoming. But we haven't even done the budget yet. The first and primary focus should be examining and enacting a budget that really does promote jobs and promotes a quality of life that is going to turn out the quote-unquote innovators of tomorrow, and have the debate on how much education we need to give our kids so that they can compete in the global economy. And that's where our focus should be, not on these, you know, these power grab policies.
And when this vote happens tomorrow, I expect you're going to hear a lot more from constituents and rallies perhaps as well.
I am sure, and I think as this process moves forward, we're going to continue to hear a lot. I know that seniors are going to be lobbying on the Capitol next week with regard to the pension tax issue, that there are a lot of kid organizations that are focused on bettering the lives of children in the state of Michigan that are going to be, you know, coming to the Capitol in favor of the keeping the earned income tax credit. So there's going to be a lot of debate at the Capitol, and I encourage your listeners to make their voices known.
Well, I appreciate, as always, I appreciate your time so much. I know you're incredibly busy. We'll be following the story, obviously, and the ones to come. We appreciate your time this evening, Gretchen.
Thank you, Cheryl. Have a nice evening.
You as well. We've been speaking with Democratic Senator Gretchen Whitmer. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.